Welcome, everyone. This week is the Haftorah for Parshas Shkolin. And it's very interesting. It's one of the four special Haftorahs leading up to Pesach. Pesach is the holiday of redemption. And you can't just be redeemed. Freedom isn't, it's not just the absence of not going to work, but it was the idea that now we were free to serve Hashem and become a nation of Hashem and receive the Torah. And it's required work to go from being enslaved to becoming a people. And there were the different weeks beforehand we get ready for Pesach. And the first of them is Shkolim. That's the first of the special Haftorahs. And it goes back to the time of year. It was an ancient custom that in the month of Adar, they would start the collection for the temple, for the daily offerings. Every single Jewish person would give a half shekel coin to the Beis HaMikdash. And this way, when they brought offerings, it wasn't just that the offerings came from the rich people or every single person. The things that were done in the temple, the service of Hashem, we were all equal in Hashem's eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu gave a half silver coin, and we gave half silver coin. Every single person gave. Every single person was a part. And you couldn't give more if you wanted to. You couldn't give less. Everybody was equal in that. It's interesting. There's the Gemara mentions in Megillah that Haman tried to use silver coins to bribe Ahasuerus to destroy the Jewish people. So the Medrash says that it didn't work because we use silver coins to do a mitzvah every year. And this mitzvah is the support of the Beis HaMikdash that we do with our shkolim. And so therefore Haman, he was going to lose. There was no way he was going to defeat the Jewish people with silver coins, because since we use our coins for tzedakah, for a holy purpose, he wasn't going to be able to use those coins for bribery to bribe Ahasuerus to let us be killed. And so he, even though that was his whole strategy, was to use all that money to somehow bribe him to let him massacre the Jewish people, it was defeated before he started because we preempted him. Because we use our money for a holy thing. And really, all the other concepts we have today, there are other religions where they tithe and they give to the poor, that all comes from us. That, the idea of giving, you know, the pushka, or the, and where, this is actually the Haftorah where the very first pushka we're going to see came from here. But this concept of always giving and thinking of others and setting aside, if Hashem gives us money to set aside for others and to share with others, that really is the bedrock of the Jewish people. It says that redemption comes about with tzedakah. You know, if Hashem gives you, you split off a piece and share it with somebody who doesn't have. You know, that's the hallmark of that's what Avraham Avinu was. That's what the Jewish people were. To, you know, people were traveling in the desert and they were hungry and they were thirsty. And help, you know, give them a drink if they're thirsty. You know, share with them. That's thank God we have it. You know, that's what we're here for, is to be people that can share what we have with others. That's the so that all comes from Shkolim, and that all comes from the, so some people would say the beginning of redemption is to think of sharing what you have with others. In our society, it's become mostly about money, but it's not. You should know the whole day will go and my phone will not ring and I sit in this class and it always happens. It's incredible. I've 2 hours in my office. I didn't get a text and all of a sudden. But that's what they call the Yetzirah, which means that you just finally sit down to study and somebody calls on the phone or somebody needs you, right? That's something else to do. But so that's a hallmark, though, of the Jewish people, and that we will be redeemed when we don't just think of ourselves, but when we give tzedakah and we think of tzedakah and we give for others. That's one point. Another point is that each person gave a half and we're only whole together with others. That idea of being in a group, of being part of the community, and that we're all involved in it together. So those were all part of the getting ready for being a nation and being a people. It begins with Parshas Shkolim. And so let's begin here. Over here, it's a very interesting historical part. So we go with Ashkenazim, which means European Jews. So we begin on page 1213, not on page 1212. What's interesting is usually we get the longer part and the Sephardim get the shorter part. For some reason, they read longer here. I don't know why. It's interesting how the custom developed. But what's amazing is that we've been separated from the other Jewish communities by thousands of miles for thousands of years. And the only difference between us is whether you read another three lines or not. That's pretty good as far as differences go. Yeah. So this is one of the more interesting or I don't know what to call it. In the Jewish people, we had a king like other nations have kings. And we had, but it was different in that we did not have Jews. They fight using the power of Jacob is with his mouth. It says Hakol Kol Yaakov, that when Jacob was blessed, he was told that his power was in his voice and his ability to talk, to discuss, to use reason. Whereas Yedayim Yedei Esav, Esav, his power is in his hands. Esav was strong and tough, and he solves things by war and by and that was a defining way of the Jew, was that he does things through reason and through talking and through discussion and uses and through prayer rather than through might and through forcing. So it was very unusual that the kings tend to be bloody. If you read about the kings and the dictators, they were very bloody, and they ran their country by killing people. And by and large, that was not the hallmark of the Jewish people at all. Killing was only done when, you know, absolutely necessary or people's lives were in danger. It really started when the 10 tribes broke off from Israel, and partially because they separated themselves from the temple, they became under the influence of the non-Jewish nations around them. And Ahav married a wife named Izebel or Jezebel. And she was a bad influence because she was from the pagan countries. And the pagan countries didn't attach much value to life. They did human sacrifices and they butchered people right and left. And one of his neighbors had a nice vineyard and he didn't feel like giving it to the king. So Jezebel said, no problem, just have him killed. What's the matter with you? You're the king. You know, but and she didn't understand. That's not, we're Jews. We don't do things like that. But she brought that kind of influence to the Jewish people. And ultimately, that was the downfall of the 10 tribes, was because of this foreign pagan influence that Jezebel had on us. And she murdered all the rabbis and scholars, many things that she did. One of the interesting things that happened was it was so bad that eventually Hashem said he would wipe out the house of Ahav, that they were given an opportunity to lead, and that was a privilege. And instead of using it in a good way, they didn't live up to the opportunity, and therefore that whole dynasty was told, it was prophesied that they would be wiped out. Now, before that dynasty was wiped out, Jews don't like fighting with each other, believe it or not. We love peace. We daven for peace every single day, hundreds of times a day. It's a final prayer, Sim Shalom. You know, we say hello, we say shalom. Shalom is very important to us. That's our Kohen Gadol, our main servant of Hashem. He loved peace and he chased after peace. And the only thing you're allowed to lie for is to make peace. If you have to lie, right? If somebody says something that insults someone else and they say, what they say? You say they gave you a compliment. Right? You don't tell them what they really said, right? You're allowed to do that. I'm a rabbi. You could lie sometimes, right? But that's because peace is very important to us. So the fact that there were two Jewish kingdoms bothered people. It bothered them. Why should we have brothers meant to be together? So what happened was somebody decided, let's make a shidduch. Let's take the daughter of Ahav and the son of the house of David, and then there'll be peace. We'll bring everybody together. Imagine what a good thing that would be to have that shidduch, to have the two kingdoms together. If they marry together, then... So the only problem was the daughter of Ahav was the daughter of Jezebel. And she was raised by her mother, the butcher. So her name was Ataliyahu, and what happened was that when her husband, let's see how this worked. When, no, it was her. Well, so she married a Jewish king, and then they had a son who was the next king. And when he was killed, so she decided that she wanted to be the queen, and so she went and she killed all of the male descendants of the house of David, and including her grandchildren. She butchered them all because she wanted to be the queen of the Jewish people, which we don't have. There are some nations that have like a queen, you know, running the show, like Catherine the Great or something like that. So she butchered all of the, and there's a whole question why that happened and the history of it. So there was, some people say there were, the Kohen Gadol was married to one of the daughters of that house, but he saw what was going on, that the queen was killing all of the remnants of the house of David. Now you have to understand something. If she was successful, there would have been no Mashiach, because the Mashiach, the leader that has the potential to bring the Jewish people to perfection, can only come from the house of David. And the last thing, and she was single-handedly butchering every single descendant of the house of David. So you had to think fast. So the Kohen Gadol had an interesting idea. There's only one place that nobody goes. Nobody goes except him. The Holy of Holies. So he snuck one of the babies out of the house, out of the palace, ran him to the temple together with his nurse, and brought him into the Holy of Holies and said, "You're safe in here." I wonder what the Kohanim heard when they heard the crying coming out of the Holy, you know, and so that was like, that was safe because nobody would go in there. You could be stricken dead. So he was raised his early years in the Holy of Holies of the temple. And, you know, no one knew where this baby disappeared to or this child disappeared to. And when he was 6 or 7 years old, they brought him out, and they made him the king, and they got rid of the daughter of Jezebel, and there was a very interesting episode. And his name, this king, oh, he was 7 years. That's where our Haftorah begins, right here. Yoash ben Shevashani was 7 years old, and for the most part, he was a righteous king. There is a tradition that he got conceited when he got older. And the reason, you know how he got conceited? Because people said to him, you know, if a person who's not very holy goes into the Holy of Holies, you know what used to happen? They would get stricken dead. Some people say they had a special hook in case the Kohen Gadol didn't make it, that they would have to pull him out, because if he wasn't worthy, he wouldn't make it out alive. And yet this king was in the Holy of Holies all those years, so some people started to worship him. They said he was like a god, and it went to his head a little bit. And again, that's always the challenge for a great person, that he starts to realize how great he is, and it goes to his head, and he makes mistakes. But that's a later episode. But he was started very young, and he was a great leader, and he had an affinity to the temple, because that was where he was raised. That's where his cradle was. That's what his stomping ground. And we're going to see, he wanted to see the temple fixed, but there was a lack of funds. Every time you're in a meeting somewhere in the organization, there's not enough money. What are we going to do, right? There's lack of, it goes all the way back, right? That organization, Jewish organizations, they have a lack of money and they need the funds. So that's what's going on over here. He was 7 years old. Bishnas sheva leyehu melech Yoash. And it was 40 years he was king in Yerushalayim. Now it tells us his mother's name. Hashem imo tzivya meber sheva. This was his mother. See, I don't think I told you the full story. So the daughter of Jezebel married a Jewish king, and their son was on the throne, and this was her grandson that got spirited away. In other words, she killed all, when her son was the king, was killed, she killed all the other, I don't know if the others were her sons or other royals that were alive at the time. But this was, she had one grandson who was spirited away. And his mother was Sivya. Usually when it tells you the mother, it's because the mother was a good person. That's a very special person. It's interesting if you that we still use that name. There are people who have that name, Sivya. And she was from Beersheba. Okay, verse 3. V'yaz Yosha Yoshevenei. And in case you want to know, he was a good king. He did what was straight. He was straight and honest. Kol Yamav. Now, there's two ways to read this. You could say he was good all of his days, and according to the way he was taught by Yehoyada a Kohen, or you could learn, some people feel that he was only good when his teacher, Yehoyada, was alive. But when Yehoyada passed away, then he didn't stay straight. That's the lesson. When a person has a teacher, like somebody who can advise him and keep him straight, so as long as he was alive, he was good. But when he died, then it wasn't the same. Now, if he was so great, verse 4, it's interesting because it's mentioned a few places in Tanakh that even the very great kings didn't solve everything. Rak habamas lo saru. There was this thing called the bama. The bama was like a mini sacrifice type of thing, a mini backyard altar that many people had. And what they did is they liked to pray at home. They liked to have their own prayers at home. They didn't always feel like waking up early and going to shul, and they would just, instead of going to the temple to do a sacrifice, they would just do it in their backyard. So that was called a bama. And once there was a temple, you weren't supposed to do it at home. But he didn't stop that practice. Now the problem was that those bamas could be used for Hashem, but they all could also be used for idols. And it was just too easy for people that, they tried it. One day they would try this religion, one day they try the next religion. Today they sacrifice to this god, tomorrow they sacrifice to another god. And it also had to do with unity, that there's a value to everybody coming together to one central place. And if everybody was doing it in their own backyard, it was not quite the same. So even though he was a good king, this one particular bad habit he didn't get rid of. But I mentioned to you quite a few of the good kings couldn't stop it. You have to choose your battles. You can't solve everything. But it's just interesting that it mentions it there. Okay. Verse 5. Yomar Yoash el Kohanim. So Yoash tell the Kohanim, Kol kesev ha-kotchim esher yuva beiz Hashem. It's really interesting over here. They tried something and it didn't work. So I often think that we read the Torah, you could get depressed. What happens? We have... we're given one mitzvah, you can eat from all the trees, but not this tree. What happens first day of creation? Well, we eat from the wrong tree, right? Yeah, I mean, it's about a lot of failures, We learn about a lot of mistakes. But Hashem is telling this because that's the human condition, that we don't always get it right the first time, that we make mistakes. But that should never bother us. We're here to learn from our mistakes. That's what life's about. And so his first fundraising thing isn't going to work perfect. So what? Do the next one. Next. It's only people that give up. The verse in Tehillim says, Shevo yipo at tzadik v'kam. The righteous person falls down 7 times and still gets up. Because it's those people who think they're never going to fall, that everything's always going to be rosy. That's a mistake. Life is about next, pick yourself up. Go for the next day. So that's what happened over here. The first fundraising thing didn't work, but let's see what happened. It's not clear why it didn't work, but he noticed, again, he had an affinity for the temple, he was raised there, that the temple was about 150 years old. It was time for remodel. So some people say it just aged, 150 years is, every now and then a building needs to be, redone a little bit. Other people say that it was because his mother, his grandmother was from the worship the idols, that they deliberately didn't want the temple to be so nice. They wanted the people to go worship and worship the idols, and so they allowed the temple to fall in disrepair. There are certain things that if you just invest a little bit into upkeep, they stay nice. But if you let them go to pot, you just have to do certain things. You have to air them out. You have to do whatever it is they need. If they get wet, you got to dry them out. And if you don't do it, then they... So some people say it was because of her that it was in bad shape. So he calls the power with the Kohanim. So first of all, he says, whatever anybody wants to do, the Kohanim should take... the Kohanim should start a collection. And they should use that collection to fix the temple up. And again, the question was, what was the mistake here that he did with this campaign? So we don't know all the details. You can look at verse 6 and try to guess what was wrong. Maybe he should have made a campaign manager. Maybe that would have worked better. Some people say that he wanted the Kohanim to go and collect the money. And the Kohanim weren't so they weren't so comfortable. And there's a reason for that. If you look in our history, when people donated to the temple, they came forward on their own. When you ask people for money, they give because they're embarrassed. They don't give out necessarily out of love. You're embarrassed. You're putting them on the stand. You know, somebody comes and says, I want you to give for the time. You know, so you're giving. You might not want to give. So that money isn't as pure. When we give for Hashem, the best money is when people really want to give. They want to give on their own. So the Kohanim didn't really go for this idea so well. And so it didn't get done, according to... But this is the reason that some people say was they were uncomfortable pushing the people to give. Because he kind of said, oh, you're Kohanim, just go and ask everybody. Well, not everybody likes to ask. It doesn't always work that way. It's not everybody's personality. They didn't want to ask. So, they didn't fix the house. The house didn't get repaired. So he calls verse 8, which is interesting. This was the one that had saved him, but they both agreed. V'yikra ha-melech yosh lo yada kohanim. V'yom aleim, and he gives it to them. Again, these are Jews. Jews, we love to criticize each other. As long as you're criticizing because you really want to fix it, that's okay. Because we want to get it right. It's really okay. Like, if we need to fix our temple and it's not fixed and someone says, how come you didn't fix it? You say, you're right, you know, like, what can we do? You know, that's you don't say, who are you to yell at me? And you know, so he calls him in, he says, Madua Encha Maxik Mezberek Abais. How come you guys didn't do this? So, but it's not enough to criticize, you have to have a new plan. But Ato Anal, Tikukes, Mesa Maker, and don't do that. This is what I want you to do. Yosu Kanu, the Bilti Akakat, the Kohanim should stop the previous campaign. I have a new idea. This is what you should do. Verse 10. So he gets a very big pushka, and he puts a hole in the top, and he puts it next to the altar to the right, and he says, you know, when people come to the Beis HaMikdash, they could put a penny in the pushka, you know, more than a penny, and let the people give. If you're concerned that they, you don't want to force them to give, you feel uncomfortable asking, people, when they come to the Beis HaMikdash, they're inspired. So that's the perfect time. If you have that pushka there, they'll come and they'll give. And so this was his idea to have this special collection to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to have it in the temple. And they had two. They had one before, when they came in. They have two or they had one? I guess they just had one. And they put it there near the entrance. Now, verse 11, v'hi ki rosam ki rava kesa. What do you do when your pushka is full? So they had v'yal sofrei ha-melech. They had somebody from the king, and together with the kohen gadol went and they counted the money. They had transparency. When people see that you're very clear about, you know, the money, it's not being lost, it's not being used for other things, they were careful to give an accounting for all the money that was found there. And so it's just a interesting exactly what happened there with the funds, where they what was the first plan and what went wrong, and then now he fixed it. But this is the main reason that we read this, is the idea of shkolim, that we contribute for the community. That's the this was a campaign that he did, and we'll see that they were able to keep the people should want that the house of Hashem should look beautiful, should not fall into disrepair, and that was together with the Kohanim, they were able to manage this campaign. Verse 12. Now, it's very interesting. They then gave the money to the workers who would fix it. The workers who would fix it, it was like an honor system. And it brought out the best in people, because people donated their time and they collected them. In general, there was an honor system in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a place where if people had money, they would give. And then people that needed money could take. They had a room there where if somebody was poor and they needed help, they could go and take. And then they were blessed. The next year, they would put money. It was people were encouraged to... when you start off that you don't trust somebody, it tends to tends to get people to think that way. Well, they don't trust me. They would hire workers to work in the temple. It was considered a very big sin to expropriate, to take what you didn't deserve. And it mentions here that they money was given to the workers and who were in charge, and they yotze lechar, they gave it to woodworkers and to the stone workers that were working there. Verse 13, Legodri Milchotzvi Evan, and they had the stone cutters, Avi Mexef, the Kazakhs, Bedek, Bez Hashem, the Ko Asher Yitab, and they had, this was a big job, this was a very big construction. Verse 14, Achlo Yasa Bez Hashem, Sephos Kasim Ismaroth. What you get, again, there's some confusion. It sounds like some people wanted to use the money to buy new bowls. I could just hear this going on in the synagogue. You know, let's not use it for the windows. Let's use it to buy new chairs or new things. You know, what do you use the funds for? So some people wanted to use it for the upkeep money, for the jugs and the instruments and the trumpets and the gold utensils. It could be that was why the first campaign didn't work, because they tried to collect money to fix the roof, but it ended up getting expended on the general expenses. So he said, no, we're not going to do anything until we fix it first, and then we'll use it. So in a certain way, it sounds like that's what was happening here, was that first let's fix all the holes, let's redo everything, and then we'll talk about replacing the small wares. And that's kind of what it sounds like over here. And the small wares were these various things. They had different silver and gold utensils that were used, bowls and cups. And they also had musical instruments, musical harps and flutes and... The Beis HaMikdash itself had a very highly developed music that Levium would study for at least 5 years music before they were able to perform in the temple. And if your voice wasn't good, you weren't selected. They had choirs and they had people singing and they had composers. And the Beis HaMikdash appealed to all the different senses. There were beautiful smells. He had the incense. It says that people didn't need perfume or antiperspirant in Yerushalayim because the smells were just everywhere, right? And then, you know, you had all this food because you had people bringing all the first fruits in the Meiser Sheni, and all the produce from the whole country was brought and left in Yerushalayim. Like, you could buy fruit very cheaply because people, you couldn't eat all of the fruit there, so they would, but you couldn't take it out, so they would bring it up, and whatever they couldn't eat, they would leave there, or they would sell very cheaply. So there was plenty of fruit and plenty of food, and then there was all this meat roasting, and all the, you know, the offerings were being roasted, and some people really liked that smell. You know, they had the barbecue truck here. He ran out of food, I heard, on Sunday or whatever, the first time or whatever, but there was good food, and there was music, and there were good smells, and all of the senses that a person had were, and the temple was beautiful, was a beautiful place. And so it was a combination of factors, but having all of that together, people were, it was inspiring. That was part of that. And so they needed to replace the instruments as well. 15. Kilosim lochi nivakisku, and they had to pay the workers. You got to pay workers too, which is also important. If you don't pay the workers, you don't get a very good job done. 16. Again, I don't know why it makes mention of it, other than to say that when you trust people, it brings out the good in them. You have to show faith in people sometimes. You can't insist on everything, you know, that, you know, I don't trust you and I'm going to watch you. And I think they call it micromanaging, or where you don't give people a chance to do their thing. You know, you just, it's, and so he's kind of saying over here that they gave the workers and they let them see, you know, figure out their own hours, figure out how to do it. And these weren't just workers. They were aware they were working on the temple. They did it in good faith. But some of it is that when you're building the house of God, you should be building it with emunah, with like trust and faith, like not, you know, not because somebody's standing over you watching that you shouldn't take a penny or not take a penny. People who did it because they were doing it out of good faith to serve Hashem. 17. Kesef Hashem v'kesef chatos lo yuva beis Hashem. Now, if they had money that was left over, there was some of it that went to the funds of the Kohanim. But the bottom line is that with the shkalim, that every Jew should want to have a part in the service of Hashem. That everybody, it's not just for certain people, it's not for other people, it's we all have our part in the service of Hashem, and we're all equal in that. And it should be done in good faith, it's a mitzvah. We want to do it. We want to support. We want to be part of providing for the divine service, for people to pray and pray in that environment where they can praise Hashem in the best way possible. That was the beginning of the redemption, was the idea that we would come together to serve Hashem. Prayer is a form of service because it keeps us focused. In other words, we all need every now and then to, we get busy with different things. And when we pray, it helps us as a people focus on what we need to focus on. And that we need to have those places where we can pray, where we're not distracted and you don't have holes in the roof and the rain isn't coming in. And it's just a pleasant experience where we can focus on the prayer and not have to worry about outside things. But again, we have a tradition that that when Haman tried to bribe Ahasuerus, it was the shkolim that preempted him, so to speak. And it's just interesting. That's the first step. The first step is to want to be a giver, to want to give, to want to help, and to want to share.